So today is the conclusion of our sermon series on gifted and called, the fact that God has a call on each of our lives. And for some, it might be ordained ministry, but for everybody, there is a call to love and to serve God where God has put us. And so we've looked at several different stories. We looked at a very unlikely one, so that when Samuel came to Jesse's house and said, "Hey, I'm here to anoint the new king," and Samuel lined up his seven tall, good-looking sons so that they could be chosen and didn't even bother bringing in the runt of the litter who was out with the sheep. And it was that man who wasn't even brought in, that boy, who was David and became King David. There also was the story we looked at out of Samuel's own call, where he had been raised in the temple, raised in God's house, and even having lived in God's house and even having God call him by name, "Samuel, Samuel," he still didn't recognize God's voice. And so we looked at those people and realized that if God called them or used them, then surely God calls and uses us. Well, today is a little bit different because we are looking at somebody who was very religious from his beginning, who knew Scripture, who knew the law well, who was zealous for God, who was convinced that there was a call on his life from God. And he was convinced that the call that was on his life was to protect the faith from this new sect of people that were coming along following this other leader. And so he made it his response to God's call on his life to seek out and to get rid of the people that were in this sect. They were following a man named Jesus Christ, and the sect would be known as Christianity one day. But in this day, the man's name was Saul, and he was really good at eliminating Christians. And then one day he's riding his donkey to go do more harm to Christians, and the voice of God comes and knocks him off his donkey. The account is contained three different ways in the book of Acts, and you'll be hearing the second of the accounts as Paul is telling his story. His name was Saul, and in his conversion, it gets changed to Paul, and he became, of course, such a force in our church because of this event you're about to hear.
Today's scripture reading is from Acts chapter 22, verses 6 through 16. "While I was on my way and approaching Damascus, about noon, a great light from heaven suddenly shone on me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' I answered, 'Who are you, Lord?' Then he said to me, 'I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting.' Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not hear the voice of the one who was speaking to me. I asked, 'What am I to do, Lord?' The Lord said to me, 'Get up and go to Damascus. There you will be told everything that has been assigned to you to do.' Since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, those who were with me took me by the hand and led me to Damascus. A certain Ananias, who was a devout man according to the law and well spoken of by all the Jews living there, came to me, and standing beside me, he said, 'Brother Saul, regain your sight.' In that very hour, I regained my sight and saw him. Then he said, 'The God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear his own voice. For you will be his witness to all the world of what you have seen and heard. And now, why do you delay? Get up, be baptized, and have your sins washed away, calling on his name.' This is the word of God for the people of God."
Merriam-Webster Dictionary, which pays attention to such things, noticed an uptick in a fairly new word at the beginning of 2016. It actually was a noun that was turned into a verb and has begun to be used, and that word is adulting. Now, the first thing that Merriam-Webster had to do with this word adulting was to clarify what it was not. It is not related to the word adultery. Instead, adulting is defined as this. To adult is to behave like an adult, specifically to do the things, often mundane, that an adult is expected to do. I define the word this way. Adulting is when you get really good at doing the things that you don't like doing. You know, nobody likes paying bills or doing the dishes or doing the laundry, but you have to do them at some point. And to do them successfully is a part of adulting. Well, I loved this when I saw this. I can't adult today. Please don't make me adult. And no matter your age, we all have days like that too. But you know, there are decision points, adulting points throughout your life. Early adulthood has a lot of them, yes. But once you get to be 30 or wherever that age is, it doesn't end there. Think about your employment. You may be well into your employment career when you make a decision. A decision point comes along about whether you'll change employers, perhaps, or maybe even occupations altogether. This weekend, I was in Columbia serving as a mentor for the Candidacy Summit. We had about 24 people who were at the very beginning of answering a call to ministry. I was mentor to a group of six who I called the Young Pups group. They were all in their 20s or early 30s, but there were people there that all the way up to age 60. So there are people clearly who are hearing a call, trying to discern, even when they have been doing something else as an occupation through their lives. So there are places, whether it's ordained ministry or just a different career, where during your life you're like, you know, this is a decision point for me. I need to do something or do something different. That we make decisions about relationships. Who are we going to spend our life with? What will our family look like? How many children will we have? How will those relationships form who we are? And then retirement brings a whole other range of questions. Well, I'm not paid to do work anymore. What do I do now? Who am I now? And I've even been with people near the end of their life who will say, what is there left for me to do? So the question, if we are called, and I believe we all are, that we've been speaking about that these past weeks, is really, what are we to do? And it's the question that we see echoed through Paul's call story. Because Paul is traveling to do harm to Christians, and the voice of the Lord comes to him. And I thought Jody did a lovely job of the voice of the Lord as she was reading it to us. And so when he hears the voice of the Lord, then the first thing Paul says is, what am I to do, Lord? And I love that because he wants to know, what is he to do? And Jesus says, okay, you need to do one thing, and that is go to Damascus. Just do this one thing, this next step, go to Damascus. And so Paul goes to Damascus. Now, this story does not mention much about what is happening in Damascus at the same time, because a man named Ananias has his own call from God. The voice of the Lord comes to Ananias and says, Ananias, get ready because you're about to have company. His name is Saul, you know, the one who has been persecuting and trying to hunt you down and kill you. And Ananias basically says, thanks God, with a God like you who needs enemies. And God says, no, really, you need to do this. And so Ananias ends up welcoming Paul. And so Saul, who was Paul, comes and sees him and is blinded still from that initial encounter with Jesus. And so the first thing that Ananias does is heal him of his blindness. But then listen to what he does next. He says, the God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will, to see the righteous one, to hear his own voice. You have a call. You will be his witness to all the world of what you have seen and heard. And then I love it. And so, why do you now delay? What are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, have your sins washed away, and go and do this. You see, when Paul was called, his response is, what do I do? And the Lord said, get up and go to Damascus. He went to Damascus, and Ananias said, what are you waiting for? Go and do. You see, it turns out that the call of God on our lives is a call to action, a call to live and to love in the world in a new way. None of us was saved by Jesus Christ so that we could sit on the sidelines and watch someone else live out their Christian life. None of us was saved by Jesus Christ so that you could come watch the clergy do the Jesus stuff and then go back and do your own thing. No, we were saved so because we each have a call, something to do, get up and go. What are you waiting for? We see this in the book of James. James says, "For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror for themselves. For they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like." You know, when I get up in the morning and get, you know, look in the mirror and do the best I can, well, sure enough, I will have spinach for lunch and it will be stuck in my teeth all day. And I won't see it because I looked in the mirror in the morning. And so if you're just hearing about a call, hearing about God's love, and then not doing anything, then you've got like spinach stuck in your teeth all day. But for those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. When we are doing, living out our call, then we will be blessed in our doing. And Paul echoes that in Philippians when he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the question really for us today is, what are the all things to which we are called? You see, there's much in the world over which we do not have control. I don't know about you, but I like being in control. If some people say control freak, like that's a bad thing. But that's kind of how I am. And when I see things going on with people that I love, people that I care about, that I can't fix and that I can't control, I hate that. I feel powerless. I feel helpless, and I don't like that feeling. And that feeling is one that we share, and that feeling can broaden to other things too. When we see things going on around us, besides just with people that we love, but in our society that we can't control, that makes us feel helpless. If you go on social media at all, if you've gone on at all these past weeks, you know that there are folks who are seeing things going on a national level that they can't control that makes them feel helpless. And for the people that may not be feeling it right now, there are folks who were feeling it for the past 8 years too. I mean, hear that no matter where you are, there's a place where you have felt helpless. And let me tell you that yelling at people on Facebook is actually not taking action. And it's not helpful action. I think that there are probably zero people across the world who said, you know, I used to believe this way, but then somebody got on my newsfeed or responded to a comment I made and yelled at me, and now I understand and my mind has changed. I know that's not how we communicate. And pushing that like button or dislike button isn't a way to change the world and to live out your call. You see, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And what I want to offer to you is that if there are places where you feel helpless, whether with people that you love who have things going on in their lives that you can't fix, or things that are going on that you can't fix, or things that you're thrilled about, but they're beyond your realm of control, do this. Listen for the call in your own life. Ask yourself, what are the all things that Christ is asking you to do, that Christ will give you strength to do? What are the all things that Christ is asking you to do? Because ultimately, that's what our call is to do, to live out how we are called to be. So here's what I want to do, because this is the final sermon in the series. I want to move from the theoretical to the intensely practical. I'm going to share with you many different ways that you can live out the all things that Christ is calling you to do through this church, and then a few more things. If you see things that speak to you, that you're curious about, or even just a little niggling, jot it down. Ask me, ask someone on staff, call the office, because there's so many ways. Let me just share a few with you. What are the all things Christ is asking you to do? We have a bus ministry that I believe we might be rolling out next week, where we have this wonderful bus. We're going to go pick up people at the Parkway, at Benton House, and bring them to worship. We're getting drivers. If you'd like to drive or assist with the ministry, sit on the bus and help people. That would be awesome. Trunk or treat. Do you live in a neighborhood where you don't get many kids? Go buy some candy, decorate your trunk a little bit, and come join us. It's usually a few nights before Halloween. It may just seem like giving out candy, but it's actually a way to connect with our neighborhood, our community. Back snacks. We don't like to think that there's hunger in Blue Springs in our community, but there are kids who, when they don't have a school lunch, will be hungry over the weekend. Back Snacks is a wonderful program where kids are given backpacks on the weekend to take home. It provides them food in a way that doesn't embarrass them. We help provide back snacks for one of the middle schools in our community. Monthly service days. One of the things that we are learning is that as people nowadays are looking for church, it isn't entirely the wonderful music and the stellar preaching. It is the chance to serve. People want to make a difference. And so we're seeking to provide once a month opportunities to serve so that people that may not want to invite friends to church or might not be interested in coming to church will come help us serve and make a difference in our community and connect with people that way. Festival of Sharing. In October every year, people of all denominations gather in Sedalia, Missouri, and it's an in-gathering of things that have been collected. Help us be a part of that. Help us collect things, perhaps attend. It's a great thing to do. Mission trips this year, this summer, we have adults that are in all ages going to Costa Rica and Mozambique. We also have youth that are going to Arkansas. If you would like to go to Mozambique or Costa Rica, or if you'd like to help chaperone youth, that would be a very cool way to get involved. Visitor call homebound or shut-in people. We need to make sure people know that just because they can't get to church, they are still part of the body of Christ, a beloved part of the body of Christ. Home communion on the first Sunday of the month, first weekend of the month, and we have communion, taking it out to many of our members who couldn't get here. If going out and seeing people isn't your thing, you can write notes or cards to people. We have several support groups. We have cancer support, widows support, we have grief support. There may be something in your life in one of those categories that you have experienced. And perhaps you feel like, well, I'm kind of, you know, beyond that. If it's part of your journey, you might go to one of those groups and help lift up other people who have also had to walk that same path and find that you're helped also. Reading scripture in worship. Jody did an awesome job. We're always looking for other people to be a part of that ministry. Help set up or serve communion also is a great way to be involved in worship. When people come to church for the first time, it can be scary. You know, you may feel like you know people and that you know your way around, but the first time someone walks in the door, it can feel intimidating. So be that person who helps share the love of Christ as people first walk in. Wave in the parking lot, greet in our lobby, help with the hospitality table. We have other special events related to inviting ministries going on during the year. Be a part of that. Work with our children or youth. It's a wonderful ministry also. And I want to make sure this is clear at this church. I have been in churches where somebody 50 years ago volunteered to help teach the kindergarten class for a month, and 50 years later, they're still trying to find another person to take that over. You can leave. I mean, you can leave that ministry. Don't leave. But We still got stuff going on, but it will have a beginning and an ending if you would like. It's a great ministry. Confirmation happens in the fall on Sunday nights, and we love having mentors help us walk with the youth through that process. So those are just some of the ways you can serve within our church. There are more, but there are ways outside of God's house too. We need you here, but there are plenty of other places that need you also. Community Services League, Habitat, Hope House. Those are just a few of the places that our people are involved with. There may be something that is near and dear to your heart too. And so be open to where it is that needs your gifts. You see, here's the thing. When God spoke to Paul, Paul's response was, "What do I do?" And then God replied, "Get up and go." When Ananias spoke to Paul, Ananias said, "What are you waiting for? Get up and go." And if Paul had said, "Well, maybe later, I'm not sure that I have the time or the skills or if it's my spiritual gift or the desire right now, but maybe later will be better." If Paul had responded that way, then we likely wouldn't be here now. God needs each of us to accomplish that thing to which we are called. So what are you waiting for? Get up and go. Will you pray with me? Oh Christ, I thank you for the call that you have given each one of us. And I ask your forgiveness for the times that we have let inertia slow us down. But speak to us again, speak to our hearts, and give us the energy and courage and willingness and desire to answer the call you have for each of us. Because when we answer your call, oh, you do amazing things through us. So use us and get us moving. Amen.